let's talk and let's laugh, cause I got so much to tell you, so let's go kick some.
Kia ora and welcome to Kick Arts with Emma and Stephen and guest host Kristen, proudly sponsored this month by Auckland's Shakespeare in the Park. Kick Arts is Aotearoa's comprehensive art show, brought to you on Planet FM 104.6 and streaming live around the globe thanks to our podcast, which you can download from planetaudio.org.nz, and check us out on Spotify. Tonight on the show we have music from Chloe and Marika, and the team from Auckland's Shakespeare in the Park are in the studio to chat about their latest show. Now, to kick the show off, we start with a new piece of music and a little bit different to normal. Instead of New Zealand, we are jumping to South African artist Colin Scott. Now, Colin did these great Instagram videos over the last week to ask people to check out his music, and it caught my attention, so I did. And I have since chatted with Colin on Instagram, and we're going to interview him in a couple of weeks' time, but we want to get his music plugged here in New Zealand. So to kick off the show, here is his latest track called Late Night Phone Calls.
Cold house, criminal crime, I should have seen all the signs, leave you behind. Where have you been? I'm begging, I need you now to come around. Late night phone calls, think about you all the time. Wondering if I ever crossed your mind. Did I ever see this sign? Baby, are you still mine? Late night phone calls, think about you all the time. Disguises on, bring the guns, it's a war just begun. Run, run, run from that gun, hide away from the sun. Ring, 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 that's just the thing, I answer my love. Where have you been? I'm begging, I need you now to come around. Late night phone calls, think about you all the time. Wondering if I ever crossed your mind. Did I ever see this sign? Maybe are you still mine? Late night phone calls, think about you all the phone calls, think about you all the time. Wondering if I ever crossed your mind. Did I ever see the signs? Baby, are you still mine? Late night phone calls, thinking about you all the time.
Late night phone calls. Colin Scott, will chat to him hopefully in a few weeks' time via Zoom. But great to see young people using Instagram to get your attention like that. Welcome to the show, Kristen.
Oh, thank you for having me.
It's fantastic to have you here sitting in Emma's seat. You haven't got the pink hair though.
No, I cannot do her justice. I've been listening to her every week. So, Emma, when you're listening to this, I'm a huge fan and you have huge shoes to fill, and I will do my best.
Well, it's great to have you on board. And Emma's off with shows around the country here in New Zealand, and then she's off with festivals overseas, but she'll be back in a couple of weeks to catch us up, as always, with what's happening. This is her crazy time of the year to kick it off.
I love that.
But you're no stranger to radio and to music. Tell us, tell our listeners a little bit about your journey.
Thanks for asking. So I have done radio. I have a couple shows that have been on and off. They're coming back on. It's like an 80s-esque show where it's half Australia, New Zealand, half rest of the world, deep dives, movies, soundtracks, everything I'm really passionate about from the 80s, and then Sassy's Roadhouse, which is all the female roots music, so definitely be talking to you Marika, and then just running a couple stations, one in Australia for a little bit, one in Auckland for a bit, and it's, yeah, my passion. My passion is just music and stories and just entertaining people.
Brilliant. Well, we can make your passion come to life here because, you know, we've got plenty of music and arts over the next few weeks. This is our first live show for the year. Thanks to those that tuned in over the Christmas and New Year and commented on our fabulous guests that we had on our pre-records. But it's great to be back in life. Did you have much of a Christmas break?
I did. I did get to take a break, and I got to kind of regroup and figure out how I wanted to come back with my radio shows. I took a little bit of a break. Sometimes you just have to then give it some space to say, okay, is this, you know, what does this really want to be? And yeah, gratefully, I wanted to be something. So I did get to, I get to do that. And on the show, I do like mocktails. So I put out a couple mocktail books that I had had kind of laying around. So I got to kind of tie up a lot of loose ends and get some inspiration. And then luckily come in here and just learn all I can. Just kind of bask in all of this art.
Brilliant. No mocktails here tonight. I didn't see you bring anything in.
No, not this time. I thought, well, wait one time and see.
I love
see
it.
How I go.
Love it. All right. Now, if you're listening at home, of course, you can follow everything that's happening on our website, kickarts.org.nz. And if you've got something coming up over the next few months, don't wait. Get in quick. Email us, info@kickarts.org.nz. All right, let's jump straight to our fabulous guests in the studio tonight, Kristen. And we're very lucky to have two very different groups in. Our fabulous team from Auckland Shakespeare in the Park, who are our sponsors for the month of January. Thank you, thank you, thank you. keeping our broadcasting license ticking. We appreciate you guys. So welcome, Al and Alice. Great to have you here.
Oh, great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
And from the Auckland Folk Festival over the next few weeks, we've got a few different guests coming up, including the program coordinator next week. But tonight we are chatting to Marika of Marika and Adam minus the Adam because of a bus issue in Whangarei.
That's right. No, thank you for having me.
It's great to have you all here. So, look, let's chat about that first. Auckland Folk Festival, that's coming up very soon.
Yes, that's our Auckland anniversary weekend.
Okay, and how many performances are you doing during this time?
I think we have a couple of performances scheduled, and there's a potential of kind of doing it on the final concert as well. So about two or three.
All right, so here's the ultimate question, Kristen, that Emma and I always ask. What determines folk these days?
Ooh. That's a good question.
That might be next week's question for the organiser, but, you know, like in your head, what sits in that genre of folk?
Oh, to me, everything sits in that genre. There's so many things that encapsulate that. You've got your American folk, you've got your Celtic folk, and that is a lot of stuff under that Celtic branch. You've got your Scottish Celtic, you've got your Irish, you've got your Breton, you've got your just everything runs under it. But you've got your indie folk as well.
That's
all part of it.
And the indie folks come up. Like, we've had a lot on in 2025 that sort of sat in that category.
Yeah.
So where do you sit? Where does Adam and Marika sit?
Ooh. We like to mix a whole bunch of genres. We've written our own stuff as well, but we like to dabble in your Irish folk, a bit of Scottish, a bit of gypsy jazz as well. We love a little bit of that that genre too. That's one of my favourites.
Gypsy jazz. Gypsy doesn't jazz. That instantly conjure up just fun?
Yes, absolutely. Let's go do some gypsy jazz after this. Put some dancing on.
Have you had much to do with the folk music scene?
I love folk music. So, like I said, one of my shows is all like roots female artists, and so I get to just pick whatever is exciting to me, and I love folk music. I grew up with it, with not just American folk, but with Celtic folk as well. I was talking to Marika before about how much I love the Coors, and they really shaped a lot of that, but my dad liked a lot of that kind of music, and so we always had some records at the house that I could, you know, squander my time playing, and so, I love it all.
Did you go and see the Coors when they were here recently?
I did.
Wasn't
that was
that
a
amazing?
Dream come true.
Me too.
It was great.
Yeah, and such a long concert. Like, you got your money's worth.
Well, but the thing about New Zealand performances is that they get New Zealanders to open up for these big acts. And so I'm able to discover all these new artists. And that is what makes my heart just beat for living here is because there's so much great music, so much great performances, and everybody gives them a chance. And so it is just awesome.
Very cool. Tell us about your roots. When did it sort of all start for you in this music sense?
I grew up in a very big musical family. My parents play. My mother homeschooled us all, and she has 7 kids. And so that was just part of our education.
It's a school in its own.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a school in its own. And so we started learning classical, but as a way to get us to play together for fun, she would arrange like Celtic stuff, or she'd write her own music. So I grew up with a lot of that rich musical culture, which I attribute 100% of my upbringing to, you know. That's what got me here.
Brilliant. All right, we're going to listen to some of your music shortly, but let's just chat a little bit to our Shakespeareans in the house. Alice, Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
So, who do you play?
I'm playing Juliet.
Yay!
Yeah. Wow. We have a star.
We do.
Another star. One of many stars here.
And, I mean, the big key thing with Auckland Shakespeare in the Park is it's outdoors, isn't it?
It's in the
amphitheatre at Pump House.
It's outdoors. The way I sell it to everyone, I'm like, and the sun goes down while you watch it, and it's by the lake. Like, it's beautiful. Like, we're so lucky.
Yeah.
The Pump House as well is beautiful, historic building.
Great location. Yeah. Great restaurant too outside to go and have a nice meal.
Before we go and watch Elle's production, the cast of Romeo and Juliet's going to the cafe next door for dinner.
Have you ever been to the Pump House, Kristen?
Oui.
The dessert
Have you had crepes? The crepes?
Just next level. Anyway, we digress. So, Alice, is this your first time playing Juliet?
This is my first time playing Juliet, yeah.
Not your first time in Shakespeare though?
No, so I've done the Shakespeare in the Park for the last 2 years, but a lot of the time with Shakespeare, there's not, I don't know, I'm only 19, so a lot of the roles are like the mother, especially female characters, it's all like the mother or the wife or something like this, so nothing that I could really play, I guess. But Romeo and Juliet is very young, so it's like my first time performing with such the amount of lines in the Auckland Shakespeare in the Park, which is super exciting.
I guess the golden question always asked of any Shakespeare guest that comes in here is, what have you done to make it feel, I guess, unique or different, or what's special about your version of Romeo and Juliet, other than it's outside?
I think that sometimes, so this isn't even about my character, this is about Romeo. I feel like sometimes Romeo can come off as kind of, he's a bit of a douchebag at times. He's really quite like a toxic boyfriend in some ways, like very mopey at the start. He's all after Rosaline, and then, but Grant, who's playing Romeo, he really makes it his own, which is, and he makes it like fun and kind of like everybody has brought something, like my nurse as well, who's played by a girl called Iona. She makes it super theatrical and over the top. And I don't know, I think everybody has their own way of kind of twisting the character and putting a bit of themselves in it, and also making it just more translating it to a modern audience. You know what I mean? It's not so stuck in the past.
Yeah. Cool. Now, if one show is not enough, Shakespeare in the Park does 2 alternating productions, and Al, you're in Much Ado About Nothing.
Yes, indeed. I'm playing Braccio.
So brilliant.
One of the villains.
Mm. If the audience listening don't know that show as much as, say, Romeo and Juliet, what would be your 1-minute synopsis of the story?
A 1-minute synopsis, okay. Essentially, the young Count Claudio falls in love, desperately in love, on first view with Hero. But as with all love on first sight, he's slightly easily tricked and gullible. And so Boraccio and Don John and Conrad work together to trick him into thinking that Hero is unfaithful. Alongside this, however, you also have the plot line of Benedick, the consummate bachelor, who refuses to get married, and Beatrice, who is equally opposed to it and loathes Benedick, and everyone trying to trick them into going out with each other, shall we say. And yes, the play revolves around resolving those issues.
Brilliant. All right.
That's one of my, I have to say, that is one of my favorite Shakespeare
really?
Plays.
Yeah.
And everyone, being in its traditional performances, in the modern performances, I think that the story is just amazing and so many, just so many levels. And it's like, who's coming in now and what's happening? And it's a, I can watch it over and over again and always find a new angle, like a new set of people that I really want to get to know.
And I think that is the trick to Shakespeare, is you can watch it over and over and actually learn different parts of the story that you sometimes ask yourself, why didn't I get that the first time? What was missing? But it is always how it's said, spoken, directed. What's it like doing it outside? I mean, today was a pretty hot day. Did you have a rehearsal today?
We did have a rehearsal today, and I will say it was, well, just to summarise, the director rocked up, and everyone was sat in the amphitheatre, crowded into the one corner that had any shade whatsoever, and, like, some of us were leaning against the stone just to desperately stay cool. So rehearsing during the day has been an interesting one, but once, as you say, once it gets to night and it's a little bit cooler, and so when the show starts, you get to see, like, sun going down and the temperature's actually quite pleasant to be there, which has been really interesting. I think the director has had, because one of the areas we use is underneath a tree, and the director has repeatedly reminded us to be aware that there might be a possum in there, which is not advice I've ever been given on stage before.
Wow.
It happens every single year at the Shakespeare in the Park.
There's just
a possum upstages you.
Really?
Yes.
A theatre possum. I've heard of the theatre cat.
Yeah.
I was watching a great video the other day of an orchestra playing, and this theatre cat just walked right across the centre stage and literally jumped up on, I think it was actually a violinist playing, and this cat just jumped. The violinist got such a shock.
The cat and the fiddle.
Yeah. But I haven't heard of the possum.
I had a theatre pigeon the other day.
A theatre pigeon?
I was playing it in the Civic for Love Actually, and this pigeon was flying around and just landed right behind me and sat there for a good 10 minutes.
It's a little off-putting.
It was.
Playing for Love Actually. So was that the orchestra playing with the movie running?
Oh,
they're great. I've been to a few of those.
It's so good.
Have you ever done one of those?
No, but I'm intrigued.
You must. So live soundtrack plays through, but you watch the movie, but then you have the orchestra on stage.
And sometimes a pigeon.
You're
selling it right now.
That was so cool.
Do they, and is it just the score, or do they play the modern songs that would be in the movie as well?
We play most of the score with it.
Yeah.
There were only some parts that were just movie.
Yeah. No, it's very cool. So you play, obviously, in orchestras and all sorts, not just your own sort of folk music?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. So speaking of Romeo and Juliet, we found out before we went to air that you're playing in Anne Juliet.
Yes.
Next year. Right. Well, this year now, but I get used to that switch. Will you be going along, Juliet, to see Anne Juliet?
I hope so. That sounds... Yeah, it sounds like cool, such fun.
Such cool fun, and great way to see it. All right, let's take a music break. The first track you've asked us to play is Grape and Grain. What's this one about?
Ooh. My colleague Adam Ogle, he wrote these tunes, and one of his friends had a comment. This was very late at night during a folk festival, you know, maybe 3 a.m. after hours of jamming. She goes, those tunes, they're awesome, but they're crazy. It sounds like you've mixed your grape and your grain.
So,
hence the name for the two tunes.
Okay, all right, let's take a listen.
Thank you.
just want to get up and jig around the room, but that might put you all off your evening, to be honest. But it was fantastic.
Thank you.
Isn't it just such a sound, that Celtic sound, that you do just want to move, though?
I think, yeah, it's unbelievable. And that's just one of your songs. That's like a masterpiece. There's so much to it. Ups and downs and little twirls. Yeah, I'm going to go home and dance to that later.
Yeah.
Loving that.
What's it like recording something like that? Because I imagine you get your energy from the audience literally moving along to your music. Is it quite weird to go in a recording studio to record a piece like that?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's actually, we got into a bit of an interesting situation, because when we initially started recording this album, Adam and I did it in-house, so in my home.
Right.
And then we decided to do the whole production ourselves. So he's on the laptop going, I'm going to focus on recording your sound as best we can. So we recorded my violin parts well at the beginning of last year. And then after a few months, we listened back to it and going, this is just, it's so stale trying to put a guitar part separately with it. So we ended up scrapping it and re-recording the entire thing, both of us in the same room at the same time, because the energy was just completely lost with, like, just doing it that way.
Was
it interesting to listen to your part in just by itself? Did it uncover something like, well, maybe we want to kind of go in a different direction in something? Like did it reveal anything interesting just listening to the one track?
Oh, absolutely. It was very confronting listening to just myself playing. You know, you hear yourself and you go, ooh, I want to change this, I want to change that. Can we redo it 100 times? But ultimately, those are the things often that make a track unique. So quite often I had to just step outside of that zone and take the advice from those around me saying, actually, that might be great. And I'm going, oh, okay. And just kind of surrendering that type of...
Yeah.
Feeling.
And that would be very, folksy, right? Like, having that more natural, something a little bit, maybe not, you know, maybe more patchwork and less, like, you know, sharp edges. And that gives it, it's that beautiful flavor.
Thanks, yeah. Yeah, because I definitely recognize that when I listen to some of my favorite folk bands, or even like top tracks. I can't remember whose track it was. It's like some top rock artist where they sat on the keyboard at the beginning of it and that mistake chord is still in that final recording.
Yeah.
And you're going, what a cool fact.
Yeah.
So kind of step back and go, I guess I can surrender some of that anxiety, I guess.
And where would you say the folk music scene is at the moment in New Zealand? Because for us as radio interviewers, it feels like it's really grown again in the last 3, maybe 4 years.
I'd like to say that's true.
Yeah.
Because I think if quite a few years ago we had a big boom, and then obviously your COVID era where it was very, no one was coming into the country, so we didn't have any fresh musicians. So it makes quite a difference to actually be able to have those outside influences come back in and inspire you and have these festivals again to be able to play those live shows. It's way better, you know.
And to show those international acts just how amazing New Zealand artists are. That's what I say all the time.
And New Zealand audiences too. We get a lot of feedback from artists that have come overseas, just how cool our audiences are.
So grateful.
Yeah, that they interact.
And I find we have quite a respectful audience in New Zealand.
But not boring. Like, they still will engage?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, you said you wanted to dance, and that's, like, the biggest compliment for us, is you getting up and dancing to that. It's great.
Brilliant. Any live music in your Shakespeare shows? Because sometimes there is some live music in Shakespeare.
We have got... there's a ball scene where we've got a ball going on, and we've got two, they're twins actually, Elise and Emily, who are playing music during the ball. So it's just a little bit here and there, just a sprinkle.
But it's the nature of it.
Yeah, we've got a little bit of live music.
We also have our own masked ball scene, for which we have the fantastic Seb playing a variety of punk-esque tunes for us, which is quite fun. And our incredible director Michelle has also gone away and from scratch written us a little song for our like closing number, entirely using Shakespeare quotes from different sonnets and the like, and mixing them all together. So,
brilliant. Yeah, it's, now, Al, you thought you got away with the question, but have you done anything different to Much Ado About Nothing that will make us feel like it's something unique?
Well, I think Alice very rightly pointed out that each person reading Shakespeare brings a lot of their own interpretation to each character, and because of that, the interaction between the different characters changes from show to show, which obviously, you know, hopefully will mean our show communicates differently to the one before and differently to the one after. But we're also setting it in more of a punk, London-esque feel is what we're going for. We did initially try starting to learn the accents for London, but the actual Londoners in the cast just started crying. so we
abandoned ship.
Yeah.
Okay. Marika mentioned that, you know, her music started right back being homeschooled and those family roots. What about you for theatre and Shakespeare and the arts? When did it first kick off for you?
Well, my mum would probably say that it kicked off when I was three, doing some kind of nativity play, I think. The Angel Gabriel, obviously. But for me, no, it was year 13 I really got into theatre properly with the school production. Funnily enough, it was because me and my mate saw the like signed up sheets for it and went, oh, you know, it'll be hilarious, you know, let's give this a go, it's year 13, we might as well. And then we both ended up being cast as the leads for Macbeth.
Brilliant.
And it's like, right, okay.
this is real
now, we actually have to put in the work. And
since school
I did a bit of a gap year over in England, where I was very fortunate to be part of a summer course, Shakespeare summer course over there, which really invigorated a passion for it and understanding the lines and delivery around that side. And then I came back over here and I started up my law degree. And through that, I got involved in... Sorry about that. I got involved in the law review, which was kind of my main theatre habit for a while. Now getting back into real theatre, so to speak, rather than skit theatre. And that's just been the past couple of years, which has been brilliant.
Did you go to the Globe when you were in London?
We did, part of the course. And we were very fortunate. We got into the Groundlings and were leaning right up on the stage, and I saw the best example of audience interaction in a Shakespeare that I've ever seen. Like there was actually Much Ado, funnily enough, and the guy playing Benedict delivered one of the lines, and this one guy in the crowd just cracked up laughing. Like, we were all laughing, but he really broke down and was very loud, and the guy playing Benedict just paused and just goes, that guy gets it. And
nice.
Everything. So.
Have you been to the Globe, Kristen?
I have not, but I did see that Emma, I saw, didn't she, I think she's been, I saw her pictures, and I was definitely thinking, maybe it's time to go to London again.
So cool. I had a real embarrassing moment, though, because I was in the queue at interval, it might have been before the show started, at the gift shop. They have a Globe gift shop, of course. I thought, I need to buy some dramery things from here. And then the lady in front was taking forever, and she was trying to sort her money and stuff. And then she turned around, and it was Dame Judy Dent. And do you know what I did?
Oh my god.
I went and let out a scream.
That's an appropriate reaction.
And she just went, hello. And of course she's got really bad eyesight, so then people come and help her and then take her off. But her daughter was in the show that I saw, which was Romeo and Juliet, and her daughter was in it. Yeah, so that was why she was there. Yeah, but I did a real good screen jump moment.
Sure, I thought you were going to say you helped her counter change or something.
No, I was quite starstruck. What about you, Alice? When did it all kick off for you?
Funnily enough, in a nativity, I went to English primary school as well. In a nativity.
Rite of passage.
Yeah, no, I've just been... I've been doing it for as long as I can remember, really. Just school plays, and then as I went through high school, I was like, oh my god, I really, really love this. And just like at any opportunity I could, I was auditioning for things. And then since then, just auditioning for as many things as possible.
I think last year, oh no, the year before last, 2024, I did like 5 plays. It was overlapping, like, yeah, no, just continually auditioning for anything I can.
Right. Not always Shakespeare?
Not always Shakespeare, but I've done a lot of Shakespeare, actually. So in high school, they have the Sheila Wynn Shakespeare Festival, which I did 4 years in a row, which is super enjoyable. You get to do lots of different pieces as well if you want to, because they're all short pieces. And then since then, yeah, the Auckland Shakespeare in the Park. I've done a one-act play for Shoreside Theatre as well. I've done the Agatha Christie. I did Pride and Prejudice last year.
I'm not hearing any musicals in this list.
I can't sing. Oh, oh my gosh. I wish I could sing. I love musicals so much, but I can't. No one wants to hear me sing in a musical.
But maybe there's a role that isn't like a lot of singing. There's a like a character role that just kind of talks.
If there's a role where they can be purposefully bad at singing, then
the comic relief.
Yeah, and I just know I would be trying my hardest, but it would come out perfectly badly for a comedic role.
Because Al, you're no stranger to musicals.
No, I was very fortunate to be in a show with America the other just last year of Spamalot, and I do think I got a singing role purely because basses are apparently quite rare. but we had a fantastic cast there and an incredible conductor, Jack, who patiently coached us all to being in tune.
Brilliant. Brilliant. All right, we're going to play another one of Adam Emmerich's tracks, and then after that I'm going to ask you dream roles or dream performance venue space concepts. Who would you open for? What role? Where would it be? On stage or movie? But before we do, let's have another listen to another track. Now, is this AM Funk Baby?
A minor funk baby.
A minor funk baby. Okay. And where did this one generate itself from?
Oh, this one was the back of my mind somewhere. It was, I was just messing around with a groove and it just came out as this particular groove here. And then it has a bit of improvisation in the middle before I go back to the groove. But it was nameless for a long time and people kept suggesting names here and there, and then finally we just went, oh well, it's just it's in the key of A minor. It's an A minor funk baby is what my Adam Ogle colleague, that's what he called it. So
brilliant. Where's his sort of roots from?
He's Irish, so he's very much entrenched in that. Very, very talented guitarist. But yeah,
entertaining people on a bus currently. All right, let's take a listen to A minor funk baby. Thank you. Funk Baby, Adam and Marika. Two very different tracks.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. What's, when you're playing at like the folk festival, how long is your performance time?
I think we have about 50 minute sets.
Okay.
It's 5-0. Yeah.
So we get quite a bit of variety through that?
That's right, yeah. And we've got a number of originals, and we're trying to work on some more, and we've put a bunch of originals on our EP, so we started off with 5 tunes, and we've already got more since then, so yeah, you'll get a big variety of originals, plus covers of some of our folk stuff, other stuff we've arranged, some songs that we've either written or covered, so yeah, we try to keep it nice and broad.
So, the question, if you could headline a famous artist or yourselves perform in any specific venue in the world, where would it be? Like, you know, is it Dublin on New Year's Eve going off, or where would you like to be?
That's a very difficult question. I think it changes all the time, but there's just so many awesome folk fests around. Like, there's some fantastic Australian ones like Woodford and Signet that are on at the moment. But there's also just incredible stuff going on in Scotland and Ireland at the moment as well. In terms of opening for people or playing with a band, I think my top band of all time is a band called Aldoc, so ALDOC. Flautist is Alan Doherty. Just brilliant, brilliant flautist.
Okay. All right. Set the bar. That's where you want to be. Brilliant. Yeah. All right. Alice, if you could perform in any role anywhere in the world, what's it going to be?
Okay. Oh, God. So I was saying, while we were off air, I was saying, I would love, because I love musicals, so I love watching musicals. Mm. So I'm going to give you two answers. Is that okay?
Yeah, go for it.
So I'll give you my like singing answer and my non-singing answer. If I could sing,
yes,
I would love to do Sandy in Greece. Oh, I feel like that's such a fun role. Like, I love the music in Greece. It's such a fun musical. I love the costumes. And then something that is non-singing, I'd love to do Ophelia in Hamlet.
Mm.
I don't know. I hope that one day in the future, Auckland Shakespeare in the Park, maybe they'll do Hamlet. But if it was like a dream venue, obviously it's got to be the Globe, hasn't it?
Yes.
In a dream,
yes.
I'll be Ophelia in the Globe.
Yes. Are they any talk of them bringing the Globe back here? You know, we had our temporary one set up at Aldersley. I felt like I'd heard that was coming back for a short season. Did I dream that?
I think there's been like a lot of speculation regarding ownership and who's funding it and the like, and it's the possibility of it coming back again, but I don't know if there's been anything definitive put out yet.
Okay, have to find out. Okay. Good choices, though. Good choices. I've directed Grease. It's a great fun show. Good, good fun one to do. Al, where are you heading? Musical or play or TV?
Okay, well, I think I'm going to go for two answers again, if I may. Like
Alice. The actors in the room, you know. They just take a little
while. Wow.
No, and the reason I say that is because a lot of my... Well, one of the main outlets for my theatre energy is that I work as a quiz host at a number of different venues around Auckland. And, yeah, a genuine idol of mine, Bradley Walsh, I'd love to be either working with him on The Chase
thanks, Bradley.
Yeah, I can take over from here.
He must be due to retire soon, surely.
I've got the accent already. But other than that, I think... I do like Hamlet, but I'm going to go Macbeth because I think I'd like to reprise the role from my high school and see just, you know, how I've changed, how I perform it differently, and what lessons I've learned over the years.
You can't say the Globe. Where would you like to perform if it wasn't the Globe? Is there any other specific venue in New Zealand or overseas?
I'm going to go to the Pop-Up Globe. No. I think I saw some really cool places in the West End when I was over there. There was one that had this amazing 3D projection setup, which I'm trying to remember where it was. I saw the Tempest there, and it was astounding. So I'd like to take advantage of that if I could. Can't remember the name, for love of money.
But technology.
Yes.
Do you know what I did last week? This is totally unrelated, but technology on it. I went to the Titanic VR experience in Melbourne, which is actually from Vegas. oh my goodness.
Okay.
You know, the people I went with, we were like, this is either going to be the worst hour and a half of our life or it's going to be amazing. Oh my goodness. You put on the VR glasses and you're in these groups of six and it's all gridded out in this hall that you're in. I literally went on the Titanic. I mean, bad news, guys. It sinks at the end. but, oh my goodness, the quality. I was blown away. Next level, to the point that you got everyone took off the glasses at the end and nobody spoke.
You come out of the VR experience changed.
You did. You actually came out and went, for technology rather than the Titanic, you actually came out going, have I just truly had such a mind-blown experience. It was quite funny.
Did it really make the tragedy sink in?
Good one, Bradley Walsh.
Sorry.
Yeah, definitely. Very clever. But you can pick things up and everything in the VR experience. It was quite something. Anyway, I digress. All right, Auckland Folk Festival now. It's a big festival. It's running at the QMU Showgrounds in Auckland from the 23rd to 26th of January, and over the next couple of weeks, actually, right through into the 25th, we have got different acts on, and next week we have the program coordinator on to chat as well. You can head to aucklandfolkfestival.co.nz for all the details. Butter Wouldn't Melt are performing, who are regulars on the show, as is Celtic Ferret and Mel Parsons, all people that support Kick Arts all the time. So go and check out the program at aucklandfolkfestival.co.nz. And when is Adam and Marika performing?
We've got two slots. We've got a 2:30 p.m. on Saturday the 24th. That'll be at the Village Stage. And then on the Saturday the 25th, it'll be at 10:30 a.m. at the Big Shed.
And you'll be hoping for good weather, because you have had a couple of festivals that it's been pretty wet.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, it's sublime to the ridiculous in Auckland at the moment, isn't it? It's either heat wave or flooding at these poor festivals. Yeah.
But we have a good time regardless.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. I bet. And it's that sort of vibe in people that probably you can get away with it. I do feel for those that went to Rhythm and Vines again.
The mud.
And the one up north in Matakana, that sounded like absolute disaster.
Mm. At least you'll never forget it.
True. Fantastic. So head to AucklandFolkFestival.co.nz, get all the information and go and support Adam and Marika. Thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Say hi to Adam and go well with your festival.
Thank you.
And Auckland Shakespeare in the Park, so does it work alternating performances?
Yes, so it doesn't perfectly alternate every week. Sometimes it'll be two Much Ado, one Romeo and Juliet, that kind of thing. But Much Ado, they open on Friday.
This Friday,
the 16th, and then we open, Romeo and Juliet opens the following night on the 17th, and it runs all the way until the 14th of February.
It's a decent season.
It is a long season, but it's so much fun.
But that's good. I mean, you do all this work for rehearsals. It's really hard when you do all this work and it's a very short season.
I'm the kind of person, I don't want to let a role go. I'm counting down the shows. I'm like, no, we've only got this many left. I don't want to let it go.
So set-wise and things, when you're alternating like that, is there much difference between the two shows?
I know
is
that...
quick change?
We requested... I don't know if you guys are using it. I think we've got a ladder for Romeo and Juliet.
We're not using a ladder. We've got a bar.
Drunk as
that we are.
We've got like, what do we have? We've got like a rostrum that sits at the back and a ladder. But the stage, honestly, the theatre, you must have been to the, the amphitheatre is so... Or it's so beautiful already.
It's got so much character.
It doesn't need too much.
Nice.
So it's pretty easy to share.
Yeah, it's a good space to work in. And I'm glad it's got the indoor option as well when it's raining.
Brilliant. And where do people head for tickets?
You can head online to the Pump House. It's the very first on the What's On page. And there's 14 performances each, so there's plenty of opportunities.
It'll be hard to miss out.
There's also a pay-as-you-like night for starting at $5 if you want more of a budget-friendly option.
Nice.
Yeah.
fantastic. Go to pumphouse.co.nz, get all the details. Thank you so much. Good luck with your season. May the weather be kind, not too hot, but kind.
Thank you so much.
Sort of Auckland cloudy days would be quite nice.
Yeah, thank you.
Brilliant. Go well. All right, we're going to take a music break and get our next guest in. I had the privilege last week of going to MJ the Musical in Melbourne. There's lots of theatre happening in Australia coming up. Neil Diamond's new musical called A Beautiful Noise looks fantastic. Book of Mormon's doing a return, and Waitress is opening in May. But MJ the Musical tells the story of Michael Jackson, but through the eyes and the lens of his final rehearsal, or couple of dress rehearsals, of his tour before it goes out. And it's beautiful. It's got some lovely humorous moments, but some sad moments too. It doesn't focus on his death. It focuses very much on celebrating his living. Lots of gorgeous songs, and I'll play for you tonight, I'll Be There.
You and I must make a pact. We must bring salvation back. Where there is love, I'll be there.
Singing I'll Be There from MJ the Musical. Kristen, it was something so special. Just his story and his life, but just the playfulness. You saw the, you know, they always described him as a bit of a big kid, and you got to see that. From a directing point of view, what I was so impressed with, and my daughter really hooked onto this, all the cast played all the roles. So the choreographer in the present day choreographing his current numbers would then something would happen and he'd have a flashback to the past, and this choreographer, who was very camp and over the top, would just suddenly turn and be the horrible dad. Oh. and deliver three or four cutting lines that just cut you, and then he'd go back to this camp choreographer, and it was just the switching, and it's something my daughter picked up. She said, I've never seen such good switching of characters, which was quite an art to do at that speed. But beautiful stories. You kind of needed to know a little bit of his life story. Mm-hmm. It was interesting. There was a young child behind, and the mother had to kind of explain quite a bit. If you didn't know anything, it was quite fast. But I loved all the playful bit, and some spectacular moments, of especially the ending. I don't want to give it away because it's just too good, but it ends with one of those things that you just go, how did they do that in theatre, which is really cool. So it's on in Melbourne. I'm not sure if it's heading anywhere after that. I hope it will come down under. But as I said before I played that, Neil Diamond's musical, A Beautiful Noise, looks amazing. So all his life story, and he helped script the show. So looking forward to seeing that coming out. Now, before we chat to our next guest, the Auckland Theatre List has come in, and, you know, it's hard to believe it's only the 11th of January, but shows are up and running already. Of course, our Shakespeare in the Park is there, so head to pumphouse.co.nz. Auckland Theatre Company has Murder on the Orient Express taking place from the 7th of February onwards. Head to atc.co.nz for all the details. Rocky Horror's heading our way in February as well. Ticketmaster for that one. Now, that's the UK professional tour taking place at the Civic. Menopause the Musical is back again after 10 years. It's back to have great music from the 60s, 70s and 80s. And it says, see what millions of women and brave men have been laughing about for 18 years. It's a great celebration of women and the change, and that's on Civic in March, and a few other things. So remember to subscribe to the thetalist.com so that you can find out what's coming up. All right, we're switching it up to another fabulous guest in the studio tonight. Welcome, Chloe.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
It's great to have you here, and you're a fabulous Kiwi music artist.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about your... We've just had a conversation with our last music guest about sort of the genre, the style. Where do you see your music sitting?
I'm kind of everywhere, yeah. To be honest.
That's good.
I'm mainly a pop artist. Yeah, honestly, my genres are kind of all over the place. My first single was very contemporary, and now I'm sort of going into the pop and hyper-pop sort of scene at the moment. So, yeah, it's been a bit of a mixture for me at the moment, yeah.
Nice. Well, where did it all sort of start for you? When did music sort of kick off for you?
Yeah. So I always knew I wanted to sing at a very early age. My mum always tells me, even before I could even articulate words, I was still singing. Before I could even speak properly. Singing has always been a huge part of my life, and music was always such a huge therapy for me growing up, especially within like high school and all that. I had a horrible time during school times. It was not ideal, and music was the only thing I turned to during such
that's what the arts is there for.
Yes, exactly.
Were you writing songs at that point, or were you just kind of embracing different kinds of music to kind of find your own voice?
I was kind of embracing everything. I was very into musical theater, but of course the pop music always kept me going as well. That's sort of how I was going through high school, but also I was writing quite a lot, even if it was just sort of like poetry, and I was slowly trying to step into the songwriting, and I didn't really get into it as much until my final years of high school, where I was really challenged to start making my own music properly. And I was just like, what do I want to show? What do I want to storytell to my audience? What do I want to share to the people? And so during my final year of high school, it was awful. I lost my house in Cyclone Gabriel. It was just a horrible year in general. And at the end of the year, I remember turning to my music teacher to have a one-on-one, and I'm like, I don't know why I'm still here. I'm keep in mind, I'm in year 12. I have one more year to go, but I'm like, can I do it? can I really do it? And he's like, well, there's a new songwriting course starting up in New Zealand, and that might be a good fit for you. And after that, I studied songwriting for 2 years.
Brilliant. Where was that?
Yeah, so that was at SAE. So that's a polytechnic based in Parnell.
Yep.
Yeah, so I just finished my studies there. This year, I really want to tune into more of my songwriting and collaboration as well. Collaboration is always such a very empowering thing within the music industry in New Zealand. It's really important to have those collaborations and those mutual connections with people. Yeah.
What would your dream collaboration mm-hmm. be? Like, what kind of collaborations are you looking for?
Oh my goodness. Like, just in general, with within, like, New Zealand, or, like, just dream in general?
Whatever. Go big, right?
Oh my goodness. Dream collaboration. Oh. Ariana Grande has been my biggest inspiration ever since middle school, basically. It's always been... she's always been my home base for me personally. I always loved her vocal techniques, and I sort of mimicked her vocal techniques and sort of fine-tuned it so I can use it as well. I've also been listening to an upcoming artist recently, and her name's Adela. She was going to be in the girl group called Cat's Eye, which has been sort of trending at the moment with songs like Gnarly and Touch. And she was in like an elimination show for that, and she got kicked off early, and they were like, you don't fit well in groups, like, you don't work well in groups. And so she was like, fine, I'm going to be a soloist. And she's been doing amazing, and her music is sort of like hyper pop. It's very Lady Gaga. So that's sort of what I've been listening to recently, and that would be a dream collaboration, like her and Ariana Grande for me personally. Yeah.
And then you have a new album out, but you have released songs before that.
I don't have an album out yet.
Oh, but you have, so you...
EPs.
Okay, so you've released some music.
Yeah.
Okay, and are they similar, like, or are we going to hear all three of them?
We are, we're going to play three.
Oh my goodness, yay.
Fantastic.
yeah, so, oh my goodness. Sleep at Night, so my first single, that one was more something that I really wanted to fine tune within how I was feeling during this time. This song is about a boy that I had a situationship with. Ladies, if you're listening, don't get into one of those. That's not worth it. It's not worth it. Basically, long story short, broke my heart, went off with another girl. And so with this single, I really wanted to fine tune into sort of my contemporary music and storytelling as well. Meanwhile, my next two singles are more into the pop genre and really taking inspiration from mainstream artists like Ariana, as I said before. But yeah, Sleep at Night.
Well, should we kick off with Sleep at Night?
Yes, and
let's take a listen so then our audiences can sort of get a vibe of who we're talking to.
Yeah.
Right, let's take it away.
Going in circles, never moving left or right. Since you're back and in my arms, it doesn't feel right. Logically, I should know you're not good for me. You keep hurting me. Please don't go.
Sleep at Night. Just beautiful. It's a good sort of segue into where we're heading.
Yeah, thank you.
What's your process for writing? Like, you know, we chat to authors of books, and I'm always fascinated because, you know, some of them have some weird processes. You know, they get up at 5 a.m. and have a spa with a glass of champagne, and then they write their books for the day. I was like, I could do that. but I'm always fascinated with singer-songwriters because some really focus on the music first, some focus on the lyrics.
Yeah.
Some it's real as it comes to you. I think a couple of weeks ago we had a guest say it always comes to her when she's driving, so she pulls over, sings into her phone what's in her head. What's your key?
Oh, especially with Sleep at Night. I remember I found a guitar loop on TikTok, and this was one of the first songs that I actually started writing. It's like my debut, honestly. And I remember at the start it was just maybe like 4 lines, and that was it. I didn't touch it for, I think, 2 years, and then I had that experience with that boy, and it started, more lyrics really started clicking with me, and I was just like, wow. Oh, it was such a strange process, because I was starting uni, and I was just like, I want to get music out there, but I don't know how to do it. But I managed to have contacts and stuff within uni, and my producer who worked on Sleep at Night and Holding Heart with me, Henry Batcham, he was a literal godsend. He really helped me really start putting the story behind Sleep at Night and Holding Heart together. Like, he's a big help with all of that. And I think with this writing, I'm writing all the time.
Okay.
Sometimes it has nothing to do with lyrics. Sometimes it's just me needing to write stuff down. It's very therapeutic. I would recommend it. It's fabulous. And then sometimes I look back on it and I just read it and I'm like, damn, I felt some things. And then you just sort of, I turned that into something else that other people can relate to and just resonate with it. Yeah.
How have you decided which ones get recorded? If you're writing all the time, what's the thing that you then go, that's the one I now need to record?
Yeah. So I think the writing, it's kind of all over the place for me. Sometimes I'll just put bits and pieces together. Sometimes I'll write down a line and then I don't think about it, but then I come back to it and I'm like, oh, this would work well. This would work well here. So, like, I shift a lot of things around. It's just about figuring out what's going to work, what's going to sound good together as well.
What story you're going to tell.
Yeah, exactly.
What do I want? Again, yeah, exactly. Yeah, what's the story I want to tell? I want someone to feel resonated to this. I want someone to feel it, you know?
Music videos, are they on the horizon?
That
seems to be the next thing.
Yeah. Sleep at Night does have its own music video.
Great.
Along with Holding a Heart as well. And I literally just today released the Galaxy lyric video. So, yeah, they've all been
here.
It's
all happening. Okay.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant. I don't know if you heard the start of tonight's show, but we featured a young man's music, and he's used Instagram in a clever way to get everybody's attention.
Yes.
And he comes on, rather than actually singing the music, he literally comes onto Instagram, talks to the camera and says, please stop. Everyone, I just need you to give me 1 minute of my music. All I ask is just, you know, listen to 1 minute.
Yeah.
And it worked because we played a song tonight. What are you doing? And I guess what was anything taught in your course, for example, about how do you get people to play your music? Because there's so much out there.
Sadly, we didn't really go through too much of how to actually promote music within my course, but I was lucky to have people to sort of guide me in the right direction. And social media, it is such a powerful tool on how you can promote yourself as a brand and as a person within your music. With Sleep at Night, I went hard out on promo, even if it just means, for me, I just have it in my brain, and one of my other producers talked to me about this the other day. I have it in my brain to just shove myself down other people's, like, minds. Like, just posting once a day, even, like, 3 times a day. Like, it's just about getting yourself out there as much as you can possibly, and being creative and not being afraid to show who you are as a person. Yeah, because more people will resonate with you and your music the more you get yourself out there as well.
Your day job, Kristen, is in marketing and social and social media. Yes. I mean, you know, what sort of advice do you have for young people on, you know, getting in front of the social media beast?
You know, it's really interesting because I look to this younger generation because I find them to be more fearless than I was, and we didn't have social media when I was growing up. So I kind of look to them and say, have a story to tell, put yourself out there, be bold. And I'm now like playing the difference between what's passion and what's genuine, and I'm really going to, or what's authentic and what's genuine.
Yeah.
Authentic is a little bit too raw, maybe it's too confronting, but being genuine is about more of service. Like your music seems that you want to serve people and support them
Absolutely.
Where they are. You were talking about being on a healing journey when we were talking before the show, and so those kinds of like finding what somebody's passion. And what really, where they can, you know, do only what they can do and believe it, and then just go out there and just, go for it.
Exactly.
I do that. Like, I don't sing and I don't play an instrument. I mean, I do really badly, but it's more of like what makes me laugh. I know is what's going to hit, and that will keep me coming back. So it's that kind of,
But I'm loving, I mean, I love my Saturday morning scrolling on Instagram to find new music. Like, the algorithm's now going, this guy likes to see new people, because I'm constantly getting people on it, and I just love it. I love those moments. But what I found interesting, so you talk about authentic, I've had 4 or 5 in the last week that I've sent a personal message to saying, hey, really like your music, would love to play it on the show, would love to interview you. Only our South African man this morning, Mr. Colin Scott, replied. Everyone else hasn't. It's that if you're going to put it out there, you've got to actually have someone managing your site and replying to your messages. It's
absolutely.
Like you're losing opportunities.
You have to be like, you have to be in it to win it.
Yeah,
like that's what when Stephen and I we went to like a professional conference, and a gal asked, "Who of you are going to put out a video now after you learned it?" And one person raised their hand and was like, "There's your opportunity," is because a lot of people won't. So
absolutely
thinking it's not. It more of less that it's going to get lost, of more of that, just believe in yourself and keep believing that you have something this is your purpose and your passion, and that feeds me.
And I think gone are the days, I think even 5 years ago when we're interviewing on the show, we would say to somebody, who's your target age group? Now, because of Apple Music and Spotify and all of that, people are getting such variety. You kind of can't play to one age anymore. You need to know that it's going to pop up in anyone. So let's try and hit that. Would you agree? Is that something you're not specifically
for
an age? Maybe the videos perhaps more, but just the music?
Just the music, I think so, yeah. The thing I've found with social media and stuff is that a lot of musicians are scared to be posting their music and doing their thing. I see a lot of videos where it's like, oh, I feel so embarrassed. I'm like posting like an influencer when I'm not, but I'm just trying to get my music heard. It's like, don't be embarrassed.
No.
Be proud of what you're doing. Like, no matter what it is,
And that's
show it off.
Authenticity that you're talking about.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a... I think about, you know, why are we here? You go through those moments of like, why are we here? What's the point? All that stuff. And I just think, well, when I know what my purpose and my, you know, my passion and how I want to help others, like support others, then it's like, I don't care. Just put it out there, because I know this is how I'm going to put my little sparkle in the world. And Chloe, you are quite like physically sparkling. Your music is sparkling. It's like, that is, you're going to give that service to a lot of people.
Thank you. And that's my goal. I want to help people feel empowered, especially in a place like, you know, New Zealand, where tall poppy syndrome is a very prominent issue here. I just want people to feel like they can be themselves no matter what. Like, it's your life's too short to just play things safe. Just do it.
Nice.
Just do it, you know?
And it's less about like you said, one target audience, and because it will be someone who might be older but is now finally, you know, have dug into their trauma and have healed, and now they want to have a lighter and brighter.
Yeah.
And it's something that they're not finding in their age group. So it's, you know, that multi-generational friendships are now really hot. And,
yeah.
All of that. So it's like, it's like all for one and one for all. Like, you can do anything. There's no, I don't have to just listen to my contemporaries. And by the way, they don't want to listen to it either, because they want to do collaborations with younger artists and bring their, keep their music alive too.
Exactly.
Get that new spin.
Yeah, absolutely. Literally. Yeah. It's just, my goal is just to help people feel like that they can do it, no matter, like, if you sit outside of the mold or out of the norm, doesn't matter. Just do what you want to do. Create what you want to create. Like, you live once, just do it.
Absolutely. All right, let's play another track. Yeah. Holding a Heart.
Yes, Holding a Heart. I love this one.
Okay, anything we need to know or not know?
Ooh, I think the music speaks for itself.
All right, we'll hit play. Good answer. All right, here is Holding a Heart.
I am holding a heart in the palm of my hand. I know you're empty now, you must be. Do you know who I am? Do you taste the blood I need? I don't need your love no more, no more, no more. You got the nerve, I know that's how you've been. Yeah, I've been around living in reality and the heat that you can't hold. Don't blame me now for the mess you made. You carved your name into my skin. Can I wear your scars like I'm born to sin? Cause revenge looks good under the glue. You feel the space I feel. You're half empty, I'm fulfilled. Trust me till I don't know who I am. Turn me inside out, it won't be enough. Perfection in your dreams. Cause I've been around nothing but the casualty. I'll dance through ash and rain. Cry for me now, you lit the fuse. Don't tell me things how we begin. No text, no call, can rewrite this. Believe me, I won't quit. Cause you, believe me, I won't break again. I'm holding
very different sound to your first one. You can feel the transition. It's funny when we have guests come back over years too and we sort of see how far their music has travelled. You know, we asked someone a few weeks ago, I remember them saying, well, my life's changed, you know, I've got married, I've had kids, so that changed what she wrote about. But different, quite a different sort of backing sound. How much of that is live versus sort of computer created by you? Like, how do you build that backing track?
That's a huge thing with Henry. He really wants to create such like vivid sounds and stuff, and that is a lot computer based. It's a lot of digital sounds and all of that. It's like great.
Very modern synthwave.
I'm very inspired by like sort of the hyperpop scene at the moment, like artists like Adela, as I was talking about before, very techno, and just like the techie sounds really, really sticks with me. I really like it. Yeah.
I like, and you were talking about how you have these long outros, and it's almost like you hit somebody with their with the song, and then you have this outro because it's like aftercare, right? We all have to kind of like, all right, we have to recover and get ready for, you know, what's next. And it's like very responsible and just very supportive.
Yeah, I've had a lot of my friends being like, why do you have such long outros? And I'm like, because you just listened to a banger and now you just got to chill out. Now you just got to sit with it.
And also, if you've got the new Apple Music app, it medleys into the next song. So if you're still singing in the last 30 seconds, it disappears.
Yeah, exactly.
It's actually a real pain.
I think you can do that on Spotify now.
Good to have an outro. Crystal ball time. We get the crystal ball out. We get you back on Kick Arts in 5 years. Time, what do you hope you will have achieved?
Oh my goodness.
How many albums are we live performing? What are we doing in 5 years?
Oh my goodness. In 5 years, I'm hoping I'm touring. I'm hoping I met Ariana Grande. I'm hoping to have had like a fan base that also wants to share their stories and want to be authentically themselves. That's my whole goal of my music. I just want to spread the word, being like, hey.
How cool would it be to write music based on a fan story? Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah. I just want people to feel seen and feel empowered and feel like they can be authentically themselves within my music. Brilliant. And I hope I can bring that energy for my fan base and everyone else listening as well.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
We're nearly out of time. We're going to finish with the track you released just before Christmas, Galaxy. So take us, what's the background on this one? Because this is different again.
Yes, Galaxy is one of my favorites. So I worked with this, my other producer, August, who is more in the DMB scene. That's just his stage name. His name's Quinn. And we met also through uni. I think he was looking for a singer for one of his own personal tracks, and then we just sort of started making this beat, and he was cooking up in the studio, and I was like chilling out in the back, and I was just listening to what he was doing, and I'm like, this is good. I see something. I'm starting to write on my phone. I'm starting to like write the lyrics and stuff to this, and he's like, I really want you to jump on this one. And I'm like, yes, please. Like, I would be honored to. This is awesome. This sounds great. And he was like, how would you feel about rapping on this? I was like, huh? Me rapping? He's like, just do it. And like, I remember the first few demos, they just sounded so funny. They just sounded, I sounded so like unconfident and just unsure. And with the final versions, it finally just came to life. I had Henry mixing the vocals and Quinn finalizing bits and bobs with Galaxy. And honestly, this one, I think, is probably one of my favorite that I've made creatively within my team.
That's cool.
Yeah, because it was just an awesome process to make. And I'm very proud of this one. And my upcoming single after this one too. Yeah.
All right, we're going to play this in a second to close the show. Where can people go to find you, follow you, and all those important things?
Yeah, so honestly, you can find me almost everywhere. I'm mainly on Instagram. You can find me at ChloeMusicNZ. Also find me on TikTok, ChloeHeeHee. It's like a Michael Jackson pun. I've had that nickname since high school. So that's Chloe, H-E-E-H-E. And then you can find me on Spotify, Apple Music, and you can also find my YouTube channel, which is Chloe Muse.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for coming on tonight, sharing your story
and
your
music.
Thank you
so much for having me. Yeah.
We'll look forward to continuing to play as you release them throughout the year.
Yeah, thank you.
Awesome. Kristen, thank you so much for taking on Emma's Seat tonight.
Well, hopefully I did her justice.
You sure did.
Thanks for having me. It was amazingly inspirational.
You'll be back next week.
I can't wait.
Fantastic. Emma, we'll catch up with you next week as well and find out what you've been up to. But to close the show now, here is Galaxy. Make sure you email us if you've got something coming up over the next few months so we can promote you. info@kickarts.org.nz. Have a great week and make sure you
kick some arts.
You got it.
We can't put it all on me. Show we rewrite our destiny. The constellations say it's meant to be. You and I in the galaxy. Baby, come put it all on me. Show we rewrite our destiny. The constellations say it's meant to be. You and I in the galaxy. Your touch making me see stars. I'll go wherever you are. Paint the night and chase till the dawn. Make them know where you came from. Take a trip from Neptune to Mars. Endlessly driving space cars. Keep me, baby, I won't be far. Don't leave me open with scars. Baby, come put it all on me. Show we rewrite our destiny. The constellations say it's meant to be. You and I in the galaxy. Baby, come put it all on me. Show we rewrite our destiny. The constellations say it's meant to be. You and I in the galaxy. Intertwining way up high. In your arms, oh, I don't mind. Dancing with stardust in your eyes. Extraterrestrial life. Come and trace our orbit bright. Floating, soaring, gliding tonight. Keep me, baby, I'm by your side. See the galaxies collide. Will we go to the first unknown? Cause baby, you're out of this world. Will we get lost in the cosmos? Maybe we'll find a way home. Will we go to the first unknown? Cause baby, you're out of this world. Will we get lost in the cosmos? Come put it all on me. Show we rewrite our destiny. The constellations say it's meant to be. You and I in the galaxy. Baby, come put it all on me. Show we rewrite our destiny. The constellations say it's meant to be. You and I in the galaxy. Supernaturally. Cosmic design is solace to find. Come fall in the void with me. Live supernaturally. Oh, it's cosmic design is solace to find. Come fall in the void with me.
Bye-bye, we'll see you in a week. Don't forget to brush your teeth and don't forget to go to sleep. We'll be going live. Same time under the stars, saying blah, 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 blah. Let's go kick some art, art, art. Go kick some art.